Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Donna Gani, the host of Kingdom Empowerment, Inc. radio show, and I'm joined here today with Reverend Betty Shelby, and we are here to discuss our series that we hold here normally on Thursdays, but we moved it to Friday due to various circumstances, but we're glad that you're here and that you're joining us today. We're talking about our strong Christian leadership series. Normally we're joined by Minister Belinda McKenzie, but she wasn't able to make the show today. And our topic that we are talking about today is trending Christian leadership styles. Now, we have various Christian leadership styles that exist in the secular world as also, but we're going to be talking about those that exist right now in the Christendom, in the kingdom of God, and we can see these in some of the mega churches that are out there and various other ministries that exist. And we want to talk about those today so that we can educate the body of Christ on Christian leadership and so that you can also be empowered and equipped to continue the pace of building up the kingdom of God. Reverend Betty Shelby, before we begin the show, may I ask that you please pray for the body of Christ and pray that the Lord God will be with us and that our words will be from him and that it will help and impact the body of Christ. Reverend Betty Shelby.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we come today on the radio program today to talk about visionary. Father, we're asking for your wisdom, your knowledge, and your precious Holy Spirit to be with us, Father. We're asking you to be with us, Father, your presence, and to help encourage, help our words encourage those who are visionaries and to enrich those who are trying to be visionaries that you have a position in this place, Father. We just give you praise, Father, for this day, such a beautiful day that you have made. And we shall rejoice and be glad, and we just praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Before we begin, I want to just go over a few things for the body of Christ to understand why we're talking about trending Christian leadership styles and why they impact the body of Christ now in various areas of the world. Order was established in the beginning of time by God, and order is established strategically to achieve an expected outcome that has been defined in the beginning of time by God. In the beginning, Elohim, our creator, he laid the foundation of the whole universe that an expected outcome would impact and equip human mankind. It's displayed in the heaven and was set forth on the earth that he would live in the midst of mankind. So God established this order so that he can live in the midst of mankind or in the creation that he had created in the heavens also and on the earth. And also that we could worship him and experience the kingdom of God now here on earth. Even when Jesus came, he talked often about the kingdom of God and why it was important that order be established as well. If you read in the Bible, you'll find that he talked about it very often. He said, this is the kingdom of the world. This is the kingdom of God. Why did he need to distinguish it? There has to have been precepts and concepts and orders established in order for us to continue the pace of experiencing the kingdom of God on earth. So this requires that mankind follow his order and increase his order here on earth, that we can remain in the midst of God and experience the effective power that he has to offer us. Christian leaders are needed to inform, transcend, and promote God's ultimate order in the body of Christ, his way and not our own way. That would be God's way and not our own way. In this present age, we can see that there are many Christian leadership styles that are being used in the body of Christ that are impacting and equipping individuals to succeed in everyday life. Reverend Betty Shelby, I know that, because I'm not a one-man show, I don't rely on my own teaching. I like to also adapt and learn from other ministers. What would you like to say about some of those current leadership trends that are, or you are seeing now, and how they are effective in impacting and equipping the body of Christ?
That there is a great move of the of God that's going on, and every leader, he has given a part, and that part right now, I believe, is he's just trying to get people to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and he's crying out to the world, to the nations, to come to him, come to me, and I will give you rest. And all these things that are happening in the world, there are people that are rising up and just telling them that, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. He will give you rest. He will give you peace, even in the midst of the things that are happening. I know a lot of people look at the destruction and the killing of children, and but all these things that are happening, I believe God is also trying to show us that those Christians, I want to say Elijah, I love Elijah, and even though Elijah did what he was supposed to do at a time, then he started to run because of Jezebel, which is a spirit, was running after him and going to kill him, and he's telling God he's the only one. But I believe that when God told him, and he said that he had 7,000 and has not bowed down to Baal, that these leaders, whether they're not big leaders, they're the little leaders that are in small churches, small communities, are rising up at this time, in this hour, to show that God is working with them. He's trying to enrich us. Amen?
Amen, amen. I think it's very important right now that Christian leaders impact the body of Christ more than any time in history. Because of the difference, we can see things coming to pass as it is written in the Word of God. Prophecies are being fulfilled. And let's talk a little bit more about that. Let's talk about things that are prevalent hindrances to developing and maintaining Christian leadership styles, because we can be in the midst of it can be from a small body and to a large body. But oftentimes what hinders leaders is procrastination. You know, when a leader has a style of procrastinating, the reasoning capabilities are limited. Also, when challenged, they will procrastinate instead of strategically regenerating the challenge that's going on in their life, which we generated into success. So each challenge in life or work or all areas that we have that we are involved in, we will be left stagnant in lieu of making qualified and qualified quantified impacts in any situation. And that is if we procrastinate. And when I say this, right now we see all of the things that are going on in the world. So if we begin to sit back and just look at it and we don't do anything to impact the body of Christ, then any leadership style that is in existence, nothing will happen, nothing will change. So every leadership style, in other words, every leadership style should be able to impact and bring transformation or change in any environment or community that where a Christian leader resides in. Reverend Betty Shelby, would you like to respond or ad lib to anything that I've said there?
What you have said is great, because a lot of people do procrastinate. And I believe that sometimes when they procrastinate, it's such an overwhelming situation that when you have to deal with your own household of problems and things, and then we look at what's happening or what has been asked of us to do, yeah, we do back up. We do. I'll admit I have backed up because I really didn't have, I guess I'm going to say that we don't have the strength, or we're so bombarded with stuff that we have just kind of tired down. And I remember this is when the Lord was telling me, he was taking me through a challenge where every time something would come, it would be a mountain. And as soon as I could get through one mountain, there was another mountain. And he wouldn't let me go around it. He wouldn't let me go above it. And he wouldn't even let me go underneath the mountain. He said I had to go through the mountain. And when I went through the mountain, it would break up. And once it broke up, it was another mountain there. And I was going through it and going through it. And then there's one time, I was a part of the time that I just got tired. I said, Lord, I'm tired. I said, I can't go through another mountain of all these things that are happening and with me and everything. But I want to tell those who are procrastinating that once you've gone through those mountains, praise God, he showed me at that moment that everyone that I have went through, that was, he opened up my inner spirit and showed me all these gold bricks. And I'm telling you, it's not like gold that we see today. It is an awesome gold. And he said, for every mountain that I have went through, there was a brick in me. And he said, people think that they're going to walk on the streets of gold when the streets of gold are inside them. So that helped me to keep on going a little bit longer, a little bit farther, and a little bit deeper. And I just want to let you know, just keep on pressing. Press on. As Paul said, I press on toward the mark of the high calling of God. And just keep on pressing. Amen.
Amen. So we can overcome those hindrances by relying on God and the Holy Spirit for strength and endurance to keep the pace. Because sometimes often you just want to lay down, like you said, and just look at the picture of what's going on. And God is also churning in you, giving you unction to do this and be obedient to it and move forward. But procrastination is not the answer. Doing something about it, thinking about it is not the answer. It's moving on it and taking actions to bring change and transformation all around you. Let's talk about the key traits of an individual that is able to develop their own Christian leadership style according to the order of Jesus Christ. Not our own, but according to the order of Jesus Christ. Some of the qualities of a Christian leader is to be able to develop an empowered and equipped leadership style. Most Christian leaders, most leaders are reserved anyway. You notice that Jesus had his own circle of disciples, 12, even though that there were others that were following, but there were, even within the 12, from the 70, there was 12 in the most inner circle, and then he had another inner circle that you notice that Peter, James, and John went to every direction that he take. They were with him. When it was time for Jairus' daughters to be raised up, it was Peter, James, and John behind the closed doors with him. It was Peter, James, and John in Gethsemane with him. So we can see that Jesus Christ even understood being reserved in certain times and certain instances, but yet there were other times where he appeared in masses of people, in the midst of masses of people, and he had abundance around him, but there was times that he realized there was a need to be reserved. So one of the key traits of a Christian leader that has developed their own Christian leadership style, because when I say this, Peter, he functioned differently from Paul. Paul had his own leadership style. Peter had his own leadership style. But even though it was all under the power of the Holy Spirit, all of it was under the power of the Holy Spirit and functioning under the power of the Holy Spirit. But they had received from the source, Jesus Christ. So now we also see that most Christian leaders are strong in the area of being, when they have a strong, empowered and equipped leadership style, they are task-oriented, meaning they stay focused to task. No matter what comes around them, they will stay focused to whatever task that they're working on. They're not easily penetrated or wavered. Nobody can't come and grab them and say, let's go this way, and they easily take off in another direction because they are remaining stagnated or affixed to the task that Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit have given them. So they will not waver, they will not budge, because they know that if they remain steadfast and movable in the direction that God has given them, they will not fall easily to the wayside, nor will Satan be easily able to, or any agent be able to come in and penetrate what they are doing. And so they're not easily influenced, but play the role of influencing others instead of allowing others to influence their direction that they're taking. They speak only to bring impact. They're not going to just sit. They're not chattery. They're not people that will go around talking, unless there's some type of substance in what they're getting ready to say. They will carry on conversations. Some have a balance of borderline in between being reserved and leaving room for outgoing capabilities. Most strong Christian leaders that have their own leadership style, they have sound listening capabilities. It is stated that in the secular world and in the Christian world that 75% of our time should be spent on listening in order to gain relevant information. Most Christian leaders that are highly equipped with their own leadership style, they are very good sound listeners. They're always interested in learning, always wanting to learn something new. always increasing in self-knowledge. They're not waiting for the information to come to them. They're always strategically looking for information that will help them to increase in their knowledge base. Maybe God will import something in their spirit. You should know this for this time and this season. So they will grab as much information as they can, whether it's in the Hebrew, whether it's learning Greek, whether it's get into the root of the word, whether it's the history of the Bible. They will always be looking for self-knowledge. They do not rely on others for their final decision-making process. They will study and assess and analyze before they make a strategic assumption on most decisions that they make. They're highly focused individuals. They focus on final results and not the drama in the middle of the picture. So someone will come. We talked about King Solomon's decision making when the two prostitutes had children, but one died and the other one, child was still living. But the one that had laid on her child was claiming the other lady's child. Well, he didn't get caught up in the drama of what was going on. His sound decision-making capability said, now, if this is the real mother, she's going to love her child. So let me just use this as a point of interest to determine who is the real mother of this child. So he didn't get caught up in the drama of what the other ones was saying, oh, this is my child, oh, this is my child. He didn't get caught up in the drama of he focused on the whole and true picture. So the big other behaviors of strong Christian leadership styles would be they focus on the big picture. They can be very blunt and straight to the point. Very no-nonsense type of things. They accept challenges. They don't run away from the challenge or the obstacle that they're facing. They face it head-on in faith in Jesus Christ's name. They get straight to the point, and they show enthusiasm in what they're doing. They're very passionate about what they're saying and what they're doing. They're very optimistic about the future. They have a faith of optimism, perspective, looking for something to be come out of whatever they do. Something should be, you know, regenerated from what they do. Their optimism is that high. They also place emphasis on accomplishing results, the bottom line, and the confidence level. So they're not concerned about they don't understand I can't. They don't understand that no. They don't understand, you know, in the kingdom of God, they're moving by faith. Moving by faith. So whatever it is, if they have $1, they're going to figure out I can turn this into $2. If I have $2, I can turn it into $4. They think dimensionally. So these are some of the traits of strong people that have are strong Christians that are able to develop their own leadership style. Now, I'm just going to name some of these Christian leadership styles that are existing in the church today. We have visionary leaders. We have directional leaders. We have strategic leaders. We also have managing leaders. We have motivational leaders. We have shepherding-type leaders in the body of Christ. We have team-building leaders. We have entrepreneurial leaders. And we also have bridge-building leaders. Now, these are just focusing on some of the top trending Christian leadership styles out there now. So I've named 10 of them, but for this particular show, we're going to focus on the visionary leader, and then we will break this out into three segments and touch on the other leadership styles in the next series that we will be having. And you can always listen to the show online, or you can download them for your point of interest. So, again, we're going to focus highly on the visionary leader today. These leaders have crystal clear pictures in their mind of what they want to happen. And it's imported from, of course, Abba Father, have given them a vision, and they want to remain focused in this vision. It's highly impossible for anyone to detour them about or to discourage them about what they're doing with their vision. Visionary leaders may or may not be able to form teams or align talents, set goals, but they are very aggressive about what they're hoping to achieve in their vision. So, Reverend Betty Shelby, would you like to talk about that a little bit more?
I was looking for a part when you were talking about on visionaries, and what comes to mind when you were talking about that, one is listening, and the other one is Philip. Listening, when you listen, I've learned that you can hear things that people say. The Lord, your spirit, picks up on things. So you know if it's right, if it's wrong, or if it's a blessing. And so when you listen, you have to have, like you say in school, you have to have good listening ears so you can be able to pick out what is and what is not. And I wanted to say about Philip, and something unusual about Philip in the Bible, when Jesus asked him about feeding the people that were following him, and he told him that he needed a certain amount of dinero to feed those people. He was thinking, I don't have any money, that kind of money to feed the people. And Jesus said, well, what do you have? He said, well, we got some bread and some few fishes. He said, well, give them here. And God lifted, Jesus lifted him up to our Heavenly Father, to his Heavenly Father, and he prayed. And when he blessed it, God blessed it, then they were able to feed the people. But he was showing him that how we look at it and how Jesus look at it. He wants to multiply. Also, when you go into Philip, Philip was a person who at first went out to preach to the different people, the Samaritans most of all. And of what God had done and what Jesus had taught them. But the most unusual thing about it, when he went, he was in the spirit, transformed, transferred to the Ethiopian man, the eunuch, and he ended up, Holy Spirit told him to go to him, and when he went to him, and he was reading about Isaiah, it's in Isaiah, when he was reading about there was one coming, there was somebody coming, and he said, there's somebody coming, should I continue to wait for this person, you know? And when Philip saw it, he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, no. And when he read it to Philip, Philip said, oh, he's already came. He's already been here. And he is alive, and he lives. And Philip wanted to, and the eunuch wanted to be baptized. He said, here is some water. Can I be baptized? Can I be changed? And if you go on and read later on, if you go in the depthness of reading, it says that the eunuch there went out to preach Jesus Christ. And right there, that should enrich us to do more for Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen. You know, I also think about, too, we see some of the prophets, the major and the minor prophets, as well as the disciples or the apostles, when they had a vision from God, they followed it, you know, because God told Peter, upon this rock you will build my church. So Peter, having received the vision from God, he began to start a work, and he began to build the church of the living God up. Then he gets a new vision from God that gives him a reinterpretation or a redirection in his pattern when you see the sheets falling from the sky. And he says, you know, Peter, instead of him moving on it immediately, he pondered on it. And then when he gets to the meeting with Cornelius, he realizes that God is showing him that it's okay for him to mix with the Gentiles, because originally he was called out to build the church up with the Jews, the ecclesia, the body of Christ amongst the Jews. But he learns now that he begins to re-transform and transcend the vision and focus also on the Gentiles, which that's what he was called to do. So we know that we can say that he also had somewhat of a visionary style of leadership, because he was taking what God had shown him to do, and he was beginning to put it into action here on earth under the unction of Jesus Christ. Reverend Betty Shelby. Reverend Betty Shelby, are you there? Okay, it looks like we lost Reverend Betty Shelby, so we'll continue on with the show. Now, looking at also these type of gifts that we have out there, we have our visionary leadership styles that are trending out there. We also have another type of that is counterpart with visionary. And I want to look at that a little bit, because it's very similar to being a visionary, but instead of just moving forward like a visionary, and I'm speaking of the strategic leadership style, the strategic leadership style, instead of just embarking on the vision, this strategic like leadership style, the individual will stop. And they will take that vision. They will think it out very well. And they, as the Bible tells us, it says, write out the vision and make it plain. So instead of just moving forward on the vision, they will take it and they will make it into achievable steps or plan it, some may say, or they will set goals. And they will make projections of when they hope to complete the vision. So this is the strategic leadership style. So you have so many people who will do that. I've heard and read of Bishop T.D. Jakes before he began to start doing anything. He calls in a group of people, and they will strategically think out how to implement or how to put something in place before they do it. Now, he had a vision for an event in Dallas, Texas. Well, instead of him just going and putting the event into place, he had a team of people that would strategically put these things into achievable steps or projections, and that it will reach the projected outcome that needed to come into place. This is a strategic leadership style. So visions are very powerful, but when we take those visions and we align them to the goals and the aspirations that God or the inspiration that God has given us, then we can come out with successfully impacting the body of Christ with those visions. And this is where the strategic leadership style comes into play. Reverend Betty Shelby, do you have anything you would like to share in that area?
No, not really.
Okay.
Can you hear me? My phone froze while I was over
here. Yes, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. No, not really, but, you know, I think of T.D. Jakes from where I've known him from where he come from when he started out. I met him at Carson Pearson's church and how he has progressed and the Lord has really, really blessed him. He's able to open up churches and use his past to bring forth to help others. I think that is very awesome. And there are others also he has helped to bring forth their vision. And that's another thing that when you are a visionary is be able to have compassion to help others. There are some that you can help and there are some that you can't, but there's even the point of encouraging them to show them how to be enriched and to go forward. And I think that's a blessing, and he has done that also. Amen?
Amen. Amen, and it's true. It's another trait of a visionary leader having that type of style. They will also take the vision that has been given to them and draw other people, and they will, you know, lay down their life trying to make sure that vision is transcended down. So it's not just that they hold on to the vision themselves. We can see even with Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, everything that he had in him, he was pouring it out into the world. He was pouring it out into the disciples that they could also be able to transcend it down. So visionary leaders, they don't hold in the information that they have. They assimilate it out to the body of Christ, and they share that vision, and they teach that vision, and they also, allow others to partake of the vision and be able to do the same thing. They don't hold anyone underneath them under the vision. They follow the structure of Jesus Christ. And as you so rightly said, T.D. Jakes is doing that. He is building up other churches around him. Paula White was under Bishop Jakes for a while, and we also know that Juanita Bynum was another person that was under Bishop Jakes, and we can see that they are still being successful in the kingdom of God. And not only do a visionary bring other people out, they align themselves with other visionaries. They align themselves with other visionaries. So you see that T.D. Jakes has an association with Bishop Tudor Bismarck. He's aligned with Pastor Bishop Duncan Williams. They align yourself with other visionaries. Reverend Betty Shelby, would you like to say something there?
Yes. As you was talking about that, I looked up vision, and the Lord sent me to Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, it reads, Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they say, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. Amen. And here Nehemiah heard about what had happened, and then he went to the king and he asked the king to give him permission. And Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. And to those who don't know what a cupbearer is, it's one that before the king ever is given any food, drink, or whatever, the cupbearer has to taste it. And if the cupbearer dies, then the king won't eat it or taste it. But if he lives, then the king will eat and taste it. And him being a good and faithful cupbearer, here he gets permission from the king to go and help. But we always must realize, too, whenever we are set forth to go and help, we have to also understand Satan is always busy in everything. And he is come to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, here also in Nehemiah, verse 19, it says, but when Sabalta and the Horonite and Tobiah the Amorite official and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? And they were three people who were against him rebuilding. So we have to be careful when we are getting ready to be to build anything in our vision. That even Nehemiah, when if you read on about Nehemiah, it's so awesome that these three men did everything they could to try to get Nehemiah away from the building that they were doing the project. And he tried to get him away from it. And he heard their words, and he would not go. And they said, well, we'll come and help. But, you know, it's just like, yeah, no. He stayed focused, but he was a good listener to the words that they sang. And he realized that they were against him. And the Lord will also let you know who's going to be for you and who is against you in your building. Amen?
Amen, amen. You know, I like the scripture that you brought out about Nehemiah, because a visionary most often will not allow anything, again, to hinder the direction that they're taking. They remain highly focused in it. They don't waver in what they have received from God. They stand on the decision and they remain accountable to it. Even though what they may see or what they may hear appears to be or someone, you know, as we say, an agent of Satan can come in and try to detour the direction that you're taking. They won't allow that to become a focus. They won't allow there to be a detour. They will remain in the same direction that they're taking. And Nehemiah did that. No matter what was going on, and even though that it appeared that he wasn't going to have the finances or that the building was not going to be structured at the time and the season that he had planned for, he continued the pace. And here the king of Babylon comes and say, let me give you this and this and this, and then you go to Lebanon and you collect this. And the Babylonian king begins to order other kingdoms around to play a role in making provisions for the building of the temple of God. So we know that visionaries, again, they keep the pace. They stay focused. They don't allow someone to lessen their faith in what they're doing. They drive and they're driven to succeed. Reverend Betty Shelby.
Reverend Betty Shelby, are you still there? Okay. Then I will
yes, ma'am. I'm here. My phone's freezing up for some reason.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's true. I was trying to look up Zechariah and his vision that was that he had, that the Lord had given him. And just a second, I'm trying to be right there when you called me. But yeah, just like you said, you have to stay focused. And even if you fall down, the Lord says a man falls down seven times, but he gets back up. We must also understand that when we fall, we can get back up. We can, and we thank God that we can get up and move on, because that is also a teaching and a learning part, that when we fall down, that we get back up, that he helps us to rise above our obstacles that are in our way. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So every visionary out there that is receiving a vision from God, a vision for the body of Christ, for the empowered and equipped, we'd like to encourage you today to continue to post, and don't let the enemy come in and reinterpret what God has seen you for. If you're in corporate America, if you're also a Christian leader in business, don't allow the enemy to come in and reinterpret it. Keep the post. Be strong and vigilant in what you're doing, because in the long run, whatever God has given you to do, you will succeed. God never fails, nor does God ever lie. See the big picture. Be blunt about it. Accept the challenges. Go straight to the point with your enthusiasm and your optimism in Jesus Christ, and you will succeed. Don't let anyone come and tell you, you're too rough. You're not doing this, and you're not doing that. Sometimes roughness is rebuke, translated to rebuke. Rebuked by the word of God and under the love of God is still a great thing, because when you bring rebuke into the right state of God, and that person realigns themselves to the will of God, it will be good for them, and it will also be good for the body of Christ. So don't allow the influences from other forces to come in and break up what you're doing. As Nehemiah did, he rebuked and moved those external forces out of his path so that he can continue the pace of building up what God had given him a vision to build, and that was the house of God, so that God could come into the midst of people. God will establish order. He will establish order in order that he can come in and let God, the kingdom of God, reign here on earth. So to the visionary leaders out there, we commend you, and we say keep up the good work and what you're doing for the body of Christ. We need you. We need you more and more in this hour. Reverend Betty Shelby, is there anything you would like to say in our final statement to the body of Christ?
Reverend Betty Shelby, are you still there? Amen, amen. So again, to the body of Christ, we thank everyone for joining us out there. And to those that do not even know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that have just come into listening to the show, and you don't know anything about Jesus Christ, but you were interested in leadership styles, we invite you to our Lord and Savior now. We ask that you just bow your head to him now and ask him into your life and that he will reveal himself more intimately to you so that you will walk away a new creature, a new person in Jesus Christ. And Jesus will send his Holy Spirit to you, and the Holy Spirit will help you along the way to learn more and know more and be strong in his power and might for the days to come and anything that you do in your life. So please, please try and spend as much time as you can in knowing Christ and knowing more about him, because he loves you. And he wants to be a part of your life. This is the reason why he came into the world, that we might know him and be able to worship him. Reverend Betty Shelby, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Can
you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to say to each and every one that remember, Jesus will never leave you or forsake you, and that he loves you, and that you will be encouraged by reading his word, lifting up your hands and giving him praise and thanksgiving, for his grace and mercy is new each and every morning. And he gives us each and every morning, he gives us more grace and more mercy. And if we continue on our journey, we will soon see him for ourselves. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, and so we're going to close out the show, and I hope you will join us next week, next Thursday, as we continue to discuss the trending leadership styles that are in existence in the world today for the body of Christ. And it's not that we ask you to adapt to them, but we just want to throw them out there. Maybe you're already using one particular leadership style, but you may want to learn about other ones so that you can use them to equip and empower the body of Christ. So we will be back here again at 7 a.m. Pacific time, 8 a.m. Mountain time, 9 a.m. Central time, 10 p.m. Eastern time, and you can always call in when we're live on the show to 1-646-668-2413 inside of the United States, and just add 001 if you are calling in us internationally. We do, we're always live, so you can listen to us live at blogtalkradio.com, Kingdom Empowerment Inc., on your laptop or other device. We also can be listened to by just adding an M before the blogtalkradio.com, m.blogtalkradio.com, and you can listen from your mobile device. And we invite you to just be with us and get kingdom and power today. May the grace of our Lord and Savior be with you. And as always, we love you. And we say to you, let the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be your portion. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless everyone, and we thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.
Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.